We don't talk as much these days as we used to about the devil. I do remember a time some years ago when everything that went wrong was ascribed to the devil. I remember somebody in my youth group failed his driving test and he said, oh, it was the devil at work in the car. And I thought, maybe you're just not a very good driver. But today we've swung a bit the other way, haven't we? I expect you've noticed in the last few baptism services, the new wording no longer has the words, do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God? Instead it has, do you reject evil and all its many forms? I don't know if anybody spotted that. And I think it was Philip who said that although he may have been dropped by the liturgical commission, the devil has not ceased his activity in the world. Well, the readings set for this time of year include one of Jesus' encounters with the devil. In particular today, the temptations of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel. In Matthew's Gospel, we hear about Jesus being tempted by the devil. The story of those temptations is a well-known one in which simple acts represent very significant issues. And we're going to look at each of those three temptations a little more closely. The first temptation is for Jesus to make bread from stones. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Well, after being in the desert for 40 days, these temptations come at the end of the 40 days. Jesus must have been ravenously hungry. So it would have been a tremendous temptation for him to use his power this way. But this is about doubting God's goodwill towards us and being tempted not to rely on him to provide for our needs. I know I start to get hungry and bad-tempered if I miss one meal, let alone meals for 40 days. Perhaps after 40 days, Jesus begins to wonder if his Father has forgotten him. This temptation is about more than just a meal, more than just a stone and a bit of bread. It's about taking control to make up for God's apparent forgetfulness or carelessness, doubting God's goodwill and his provision. Sometimes I know, I wonder if God's forgotten about something that is important to me. I can't understand why things are taking so long or why things aren't going the way I want them to. I need to replace this with trust in God's ultimate love and goodness, even when God seems to have deserted us. Jesus doesn't turn the bread into a stone. He commits himself to continue to trust in God's promise of sustenance in the wilderness. Jesus answered, it's written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. As I look back over my life, in many instances, I can see now why God didn't cause something to happen when I wanted it to, or why God should choose a different thing from what I wanted or I expected. In some cases, I'm still wondering why, but I trust that it will become clear in the end. The second temptation is for Jesus to throw himself off the temple to be caught by God. The devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. This is about trying to manipulate God to try and do what we want. It could be something simple, like praying for a lottery jackpot. Or it can be something more subtle, like the temptation presented to Jesus. Why not do something dramatic to show your faith and call down a demonstration of God's power? But as Jesus said, Jesus answered him, it's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. We shouldn't try to manipulate God to get him to do what we want. Rather, we should ask him to do what he wants. All of this begs the question, why do we do the things that we do? Is our desire for God's glory or for our own? Is our prayer motivated by self-centered fear or God-centered trust? The third temptation is for Jesus to worship the devil in response for earthly power. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All of this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it's written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Jesus did want to win the kingdoms of the world for God, to wrest them back out of the clutches of evil. But he can't win them by worshipping evil, even though refusing this offer means a long, hard trek for him to the cross and beyond. This is about trying to seek our own shortcuts to God's goals. And also for us, there are no shortcuts to spiritual wisdom and maturity, just patient discipleship in the pathway of God. When we look at the bad things in the world, we see and hear evil at work. Every time we listen to the news, it's easy to believe in a fallen world, and sometimes harder to believe that Christ has redeemed the world, that God has made everything right. I heard about someone who went on the Alpha course, and they said, "Oh, I don't believe in God, but I do believe in the devil." When asked why, he said, "Well, take a look around you. The devil advertises more." But we have faith that despite what we may see and hear about, God is working things out as part of his purposes. If we don't trust in God and his loving power, believing that his goodness shown to us in Christ is rooted at the deepest level in our world, in our lives, in our souls, we might be in danger of making the mistakes that Satan wanted Jesus to make. We're in the season of Lent. It's a time when we prepare our hearts and minds to receive once more, through the events of Holy Week and Easter, Jesus' death and resurrection. It's through those events that we are assured of God's ultimate and complete love for us, and we can know the reality of God's hope that is ours. Because Jesus didn't take the easy road, because he went to the cross for our sins, we can come to him today. We can reach out our hand to the one who stretched out his hands for us and who still reaches out for us today. We can reach out to Christ and through Christ reach out to others around us and let them know that there is a better life, a life that is given freely to all who desires it. This is the hope that we have through God acting in Christ. It's our hope of God's goodness, God's ultimate loving purposes for us. Goodness is stronger than evil. This is no vain hope. The fallen nature of our world, no matter how strongly it advertises itself, will not win out in the end. Through Jesus, God has shown us his goodness and his ultimate and complete love for us, planted more deeply than all that is wrong. We're going to sing again now. It's number 3.